It's a big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's huge technology stories. Everything that's gone on, everything that's happened, everything that will be. Considered opinion from an incredible panel this week. Top left, we've got Gazmaz back after a week at the cinema.
Yes.
How was it?
It was good. Even though you told me a major point of the plot and ruined it for the whole family, no, it was good.
I haven't released that VIP show yet, just for that very reason.
No, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad at all. And yes, I enjoyed it. The film was Gravity, for anybody who's wondering what the hell.
You fed me the line now. I've got to say it. I can't not.
No, I won't.
Aww. You can do it later.
No, I'm not going to do it. No.
You been all right, boy?
Yes, very good. Very busy at work. Extremely busy at work, and ended today with a nightmare scenario, which nearly meant I couldn't make tonight. But I left it and went home. That's it.
It's always the way.
Yeah.
They don't pay enough. Next to him, it's Baz. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm great. How's life as an unemployed journalist? I mean, self-employed journalist.
It's pretty much the same as being an employed journalist, except I do more of it at home in my boxer shorts.
I didn't need that vision. What's been going on apart from you're no longer the main editor of PC Pro then?
No,
but you're still major still contributor.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not in charge.
And what other gigs have you picked up?
I'm doing bits and bobs for different people, doing some stuff. Did a big feature for Web User, doing some other tech stuff, doing some photography stuff as well, which is nice. So
blood pressure's gone down.
And the beard's come.
Well, I was going to say, you haven't shaved since you've been in your boxer shorts either then.
well, not up top, no.
At least you have to get dressed, mate. I end up being all day in my pyjamas if you're not careful, sitting at home editing video, and then it's not good for you. I saw your picture last night at the footy.
Yes, it was very, very foggy.
Bit Spartan, mate.
There was actually more people there than it looked, but yes, this is non-league football, and this is one of the sort of league cups, which is treated about as seriously as a Sunday park kickabout, I'm afraid. So, not the biggest crowd you've ever seen.
Never mind. Beneath him, he's making a welcome return. He's surprised as anyone that he's actually back. David, and I haven't set your main camera up. Let's go back to the full view. How you been, mate?
I'm very good, thank you.
Have you been recognised down the supermarket now?
It's barely possible to actually do it. I'm having to do everything online now.
Really, you can't even go out anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what happens, mate. You come on this network.
I know, I didn't realise it was so
knickers
fast.
Through the post and everything.
Yeah, thanks to Batgeek.
Batwinch. She's here. I'll get her to say hello in a minute. And last but by no means least, it's Righty Boy.
Hey, mate.
Reviewing a PS4 this week.
Yeah, I got my hands on one. It's all right.
It's only all right.
Yeah.
Heralded as the second coming of game consoles, and you say it's all right, boy.
Yes, all right, mate. All right.
So you weren't that impressed then?
Oh, it's like the old one. It just looks a bit nicer, doesn't it? So that's all it really is.
Nothing about graphics or anything like that, you know? No. Have you had a go with the 360 One?
No.
No, the Xbox One?
No, that's what I want to, because I'm an Xbox user, so that's what I really want to try, see if it's any better than what I've got now. So.
Oh, right, okay. I want to get one of those, I think. But
yeah.
Rise of Rome really kind of, because the graphics in that look incredible, but people have said to me the graphics in the game aren't that good, and also the game's not that brilliant. So. We'll have to wait and see. The Week in Tech. If you've got Elite Motion, tough, it's not going to solve your problems. It's not going to fix the broken Windows, apparently. It's not meant to replace a mouse and keyboard, and nor is it going to fix Microsoft's broken OS, unquote them, and PC Pro. Thank you, Nicole, for giving me that quote. I've got to say, we mentioned this last week because they've sunk it into a keyboard. I've never got the damn thing to actually even recognise me sodding hands, let alone do anything of any fine nature. It's not a good thing.
Have you got one?
No, I've had a go with one and it was crap.
Oh, right.
Well, it was less than crap, actually. It was non-existent.
Oh.
If it had worked briefly.
I saw the videos when these things first came out and I was blown away. But, it's very easy to make a video that looks awesome.
And then you bought one.
People using it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you bought one.
when I was still at PC Pro, I reviewed it, and I spent an hour in the a day in the office just swearing constantly, trying to get the bloody thing to work. I installed it on three different laptops, on desktop system. It was there was no conditions under which that thing will recognise your hands any further than about a foot or two above the thing.
Yeah, the Leap POS. There we go. It's official. We've all said it. DHL have tried to copycat Amazon at very short notice by the looks, and they managed to fly a package from, wait for it, a pharmacist, so it's only pills, that's all it'll carry, 1 kilometre back to DHL's headquarters. It doesn't say that it actually went to pick up the pills, which is kind of worrying, because I wouldn't have said it would do 2 kilometres, so... it's knackered. But allegedly they're going to look at doing it, and I think they've got absolutely fat chance, the same as everyone else. RT could become free. We might have a talk about this later, but Windows is looking to try and hack into, or Microsoft's looking to hack into the Android market a bit. So RT might become your developer platform of choice for your OS, for your tablet, but they're going to have to make it a bit more open than it currently is, because no one's going to have... The last thing you want is a free-for-all on the Surface. Whitman says, HP's just fine, thank you very much. She said they've got a strong enterprise business, unquote. They're still making an awful lot of computers, and there's more out there than you would give a credit for, allegedly.
And one day someone will buy one of them.
Not on subsidy. Sony, this was quite interesting. Sony have released a USB card, so you can actually connect your USB device directly with the charging output rather than having to use a cable. So it's a hard link from standard USB to micro USB. Only works if your device is micro USB, obviously. And Spotify's gone free today, but ad supported, which means they're still not going to manage it with Nokia. And worryingly for my son, apparently, you are what your dad ate, not what you eat. Apparently, there's a study being done that suggests that fathers will influence their children by what they eat before they conceive. So there you go. If you've had green leafy vegetables, cereal, fruits, and meats, meat's the only thing I've got in that list, then you increase the amount of folate which goes into your semen. There you go.
Oh, great.
So folate-deficient fathers had 30% more increase of birth defects and later life defects. There you go. So my son's going to be a drunk whether he likes it or not.
Blimey. What is the diet of kebab?
Oh, I've just realised I started the show without a beer. Shit.
Unbelievable.
Those are the stories I picked out, but, I mean, you know, we could have plenty more. Who'd like to start us off?
Well, I was going to talk about the Spotify thing. So I actually think that's quite interesting in some senses, because it seems I paid the £10 a month for Spotify. When I heard they were going to give away sort of a free version on mobiles and tablets, I was a bit gnarled, because obviously if you're paying for something, you don't want to give away the crown jewels. But I think that what they're doing is actually quite sensible, because on the smartphone, I think all you can do is basically listen to sort of random things from your playlists and create your own playlist effectively. On the desktop and the tablet now, you can sort of play any song on demand. So they're making a clear differentiation between phone and tablet, which is quite sensible, because most people don't take their tablet wandering around in the streets to listen to stuff. And then still most of the premium features, like being able to download your tracks and listen offline, which is what I do constantly. I use Spotify pretty much in the car now as my default radio, especially when you've got a sat-nav going.
Yeah.
So that's perfect for me. And I think what they're doing is actually quite sensible, because they're trying to broaden. They said that 1 in 4 people who sign up for Spotify or who use Spotify end up paying for it, which is an astonishing conversion rate, if that's true. Because for most services where you give away something free and then have a paid element, it's tiny. I think Evernote do something like 1 in 1,000 people or something ridiculous. I think what they're doing is actually quite sensible. If they can broaden it out and get that revenue flowing again.
That said, though, Baz, the adverts in Spotify are significantly annoying.
Yeah, and annoying enough to make you pay, which is exactly what happened to me. But I liked the offline facility for the mobile. I think that's the killer feature for me, and being able to listen to what you want on a mobile.
No, I'm going to say a statistic, and I'm not going to say that I know this is true, but this is what I read. There's only 24 million paid up subscribers for Spotify, and there's only 100 million subscribers, just including the free services, at all. And I thought, what? How can you exist if you've only got 100 million people using your service? Because in a modern era, that's pretty small.
Yeah, to try and make an income from. But I mean, they've only opened, they're doing most of the big European markets and the US, obviously. But I don't think they've really pushed that hard in the US yet. They've not really taken off. There's a lot of competition over there. But you know, you can make some pretty serious revenue from, if that's just say, you know, a quarter of those people, or the, as you say, 24 million people paying £10 a month. That's a fairly serious chunk of revenue that the music industry wasn't getting before.
Yeah.
They all complain. I mean, Tom York is the one who's constantly harping about how little Spotify pays and all this revenue that's been lost for artists. Let's not forget that Tom York and Radiohead were the people who devalued music albums by giving one away, basically, about 5-6 years ago, literally giving one away. And then they moan that people like Spotify are not compensating artists. Well, if you devalue CDs to the point, or albums to the point where people just expect them to get them for free, then what Spotify is doing is actually putting a small amount of money, granted, back into their pockets. So, you know, I think it's a good thing.
It'd be interesting as well to look at what they'd be getting for royalties from radio, because Spotify's not doing anything more than providing a radio service of some description, really.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just an on-demand service. But anyone else a Spotify user?
I'm a free user, and obviously I've downloaded the app since then. But the one clever thing they've done is when you actually download the app on my iPhone, they actually give you the premium service for 48 hours for free to try out.
Yeah,
and so obviously
you don't
immediately get all the adverts and kind of the limited functionality. But as I was walking home tonight, I've had it for about 24 hours. I was actually working out how I can save up that £5 a month to get rid of the adverts, get the premium thing. So for them to get it onto mobile devices for free, because obviously you could only do that before when you paid, is actually very clever. Because I've tried RDO and Google Music and all that sort of thing, and the user experience on the iPhone I find is probably the best one, and the quality of the music on there and the selection is actually better than anything else. So I'm actually thinking about buying it. So from an advertising kind of standpoint, they've actually done a really good job.
So is it making you want to switch?
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking, well, yeah, I can cut this out here, cut this out there, find that £5 a month and just pay for that.
All right.
So you say £5 a month because you get the student option, I assume.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Flash that card.
Oh, yeah. Dear me.
I've got to say, both my daughters use it, and they love it. It's all they use all the time.
Really?
They don't have a concept now of owning a copy of a piece of music. It's streaming for them all the time.
Oh, right. I've just noticed, Gaz, that you've put your frigging picture up.
Hurrah!
Yes.
Where were you when Gazmaz finally posted his Red Arrows picture on the wall? You know it's not in the middle, right?
It's where I want it to be, all right?
Oh, okay. All right, mate. I'm sorry. I do be sorry. Sorry, Dave, you were going to say something sensible.
Yeah, just a quick one, which is, I know this is an Apple-free zone, but when iTunes Radio lands over here, what sort of difference do you think it might make to Spotify and that sort of thing?
Well, I think, to be honest, I think Spotify is a dead business already. I can't see it being here in 5 years at all, because if you've got, I mean, I've got Nokia Music, so all I've got to do is power my phone up and connect it to anything that's Bluetooth or NFC, and I can play free radio from Nokia Music. So why bother?
I think that's
the key difference similar. Is surely for Spotify is that you can download albums and play them offline and listen to whatever you like. Nokia Music's great, but it's effectively a random playlist or based around an artist. You know, I think that it has its place, but I don't think it's a direct rival to Spotify in that sense. I think there's still a lot of people who pay for that. I can't remember who it was who David. Said about his two daughters taking it.
Oh, Gaz, yeah.
And I think that really is it. I've not bought a CD in 2 years since I've had my Spotify subscription, because basically vast majority of what comes out ends up on Spotify. You can save it locally, and pretty much it's replaced iTunes on my phone.
How much would you have paid in CDs each month prior?
Probably I'd have bought maybe one a month. I'm not, you know, not a huge music person. No, but no. The money I'd have spent on my CDs is now being spent on a Spotify subscription.
So what does everyone think about Dave's point there about what's iTunes Radio going to do to this?
Well, this is a preemptive strike. They know it's coming. Obviously, it's in America now, so they know it's going to come to the UK soon and around the world. So they're kind of getting people onto that now, aren't they, before iTunes Radio arrives, isn't it? It's kind of in fear of what people are going to... Because people always go to the default thing on their phone, don't they? When you get a new phone and they say, you've got iTunes Radio, they're going to use that over anything else. They're not going to bother with Spotify. And don't you get, with iTunes Radio, you get that ad-free with the iTunes Match, don't you?
Exactly, and that's exactly what I use for all of my stuff, which is £21 a year over here.
Exactly.
So you're going to get basically Spotify ad-free for £21 a year instead of £10 a month or $10 a month.
Well, you're not, though, because you don't get the whole library. With iTunes Match, you only get what you've previously bought. Mm. With Spotify, you get whatever in its catalogue.
No, you do for iTunes Match, that's what you previously bought. But with the iTunes Match, once you've bought that, you get iTunes Radio ad-free.
But iTunes Radio is like Nokia Music. It's playlists based on selections. It's not, you can't go and say, I want to listen to Led Zeppelin or whatever. And I think that's a key difference. I've used a lot of those radio services, and they're fine for what they are. But if you just want to listen to something or create a playlist or... go off in a car and listen to, 2 hours of music that you pre-selected because you know that's your journey ahead. I think that's really powerful.
Well, in terms of that, then, because I say I've tried them all, so the best one I have tried then is the Google Play Music, because I'm not actually paying a penny. You can still upload 20,000 songs of your own and you don't pay anything, do you? So, that's probably the best one at the moment. You can have all of your music up to 20,000 tracks, and then obviously you don't pay them a thing. Yeah. And now you've got an iOS app and an Android. Well, obviously Android's always had an app, but you now got an iOS app. So that's what I've been using up until now. So I'm trying Spotify, but
A quick yes no on what Baz has just said about the fact that he feels that Spotify is differentiating itself. Are they going to survive another 5 years, Gaz?
I think they need to push themselves a lot more, but if they do, yes.
Right, okay. Baz?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll put out an IPO at some point in the next year or two and cash in while everybody else is making the big money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll probably knock a lot of other services out of the market, actually.
There is a bit of a bubble at the moment. Dave?
I think they'll be bought by Apple, Nokia, or Microsoft.
Ooh, Microsoft is an interesting one.
Mm.
Especially with the fact that they've got access to the Nokia store, which they could further develop FOC.
Yeah, they might just switch to that sort of management system.
Okay, and Righty?
I think as long as default apps come on phones, people will use those over going out and something else. So I think kind of their days are numbered, really.
I think they're numbered all. Yeah, you're toast. See you in hell, Spotify. Gaz, what have you got for us, mate?
Right, we're all struggling to get...
Have I asked too soon?
No, I was struggling to get that story, but I've actually gone for... I've not gone for a funny or any... Well, I've got a bit of a funny quirk on it anyway. This is a bit tech, and it's about a soldier, Andrew Garthwaite, who moves his bionic arm by his thoughts alone. This guy, obviously, out in some war, can't remember where it was, but he lost his arm and he's had a prosthetic arm added to him, and it's now connected to his nerve system and some of his muscles in his chest and his shoulder, and he now actually rotates and moves his fingers on the bottom of his arm, which is covered by a shirt sleeve, so it actually looks pretty damn good, and he does it all by thought process. But he's got a fantastic trick up his sleeve, which he actually says on this video, when he's at kids' parties, he actually gets his hand and he twists it all the way around. It does a complete 360.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it is absolutely superb. So, but my thought was, what else is this going to lead to? Thought processes, eventually there'll be radio waves and thought processes, so this eventually will lead its way into our mobile life with our with our mobile devices, and you just telling something. And I suppose the Google Glass is some way going down that avenue with, you know, the information in front of you all the time. But soon nobody will be talking to each other. We'll be thinking at each other.
Oh, really? We're all up to the Mekon already.
I'll post the story in the chat room so people can see what.
One guy can do a trick at a kid's party with his hand, which is not a good phrase. I've just realised what I've said.
Get it cancelled.
I can edit. And you think we're suddenly turned into telepathic beings?
I think it's not. It's not so far off. It'll be sooner than that. It'll be that before we reach Mars.
Gaz, can you guess what I'm thinking?
Go on. Not yet, no. But I will be able to.
By the time it gets to Northampton, you'll have figured it out. These bollocks.
By the bash, I'd have figured it out.
By the bash, I expect you to order your ticket via telepathy with me, mate. Bash tickets go on sale after Christmas. Anyone else on that one? Either Andrew Garthwaite's party trick or...
What I was interested in was obviously the technology that they've got in there that they can that he can obviously control it from. The electronic sine waves coming from his brain down to his muscles and then obviously electronically and the little...
Is this thing linked into his head, though, or is it just responding to Twitch...
I think it's more connected to, you know, him being able to twitch muscles. It is when you first see the video, it did make me laugh because he picked up this cup and if it was full, it almost would have emptied out. So, you know, we are a little way off just yet from thought control, I think. But it's moving on and it'll step by step. But eventually I think this is where wearables will kick in as well, you know. Think about that connected with what you're going to be walking around in and making phone calls, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's have a conversation about wearable tech then, because, I mean, outside of bionic replacement
Is wearable tech, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm struggling to see where wearable tech is going to go in the future, because it just doesn't seem to me to have any kind of pathway that, at the moment, anyone's really exploited and got a kind of, oh, that's a good point, yeah, that'd be great. It's always kind of, it's gimmick, it's stuff for parties.
I think it's going to be linked into the sort of connectivity that we've got at the moment with, the tablets and the smartphones that we're dealing with. I think, and certainly the Google Glass is one of the step forwards where basically you have everything to hand and wearable tech is being able to access that sort of information easily and quickly without pulling a phone out of your pocket.
Baz, any thoughts?
I'm Google Glass. The entire concept leaves me cold, and I'm not sure it's ever going to take off. I think where you may see a lot more of sort of small embedded devices. I can well see things like clothes that almost like electric blanket within the coat, for example, that uses the temperature gauge off your phone, or maybe just uses a thermometer itself to detect the weather conditions, then heats up. I think stuff like that could definitely happen. I'm really not sure about this whole sort of transplanted reality in front of your face with Google Glass nonsense.
I think also there's going to be stuff like you're going to have devices connected to your body that's going to tell you about your blood sugar levels, all sorts of other stuff and health stuff. I think that's where it's going forward on the health side rather than any other side at this point in time.
I mean, measurement through the skin's got a lot better with even just the light on your iPhone. So, I mean, there's no reason that you can't have a device that's got a little tiny watch battery on it that projects a little light in and senses blood flow and pressure and so on through a vein that's near the surface or something. I can see that being realistic and then transmits to an iPhone. But until they get voice recognition sorted out, this is a complete dead end as far as I see.
I've just seen Bronwyn's mentioned in the chat, wake me up when bionic contact lenses become a thing. Well, that's sort of an evolution of Google Glass, and yeah, that would make it far more useful. It's a way off, but it's going to be tricky. But I did notice that there was a study in the US, I think, where they were using tongue piercings for quadriplegic sufferers so that they could control a wheelchair literally by moving their tongue around and a magnet
Oh, yeah, I suppose that would work. Yeah, yeah. That you get a little joystick.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know there were a lot of sort of older sufferers that weren't interested in doing it purely because it was a tongue piercing, but the technology is sound. It's a brilliant idea. And
it is.
We could do it with magnets either side of the tongue rather than actually piercing the tongue. That would be potentially doable as well.
The Apple iTongue is imminent. Imminent, even.
Oh, mine's been done in the past. It was a long time ago, though, that I got my tongue pierced.
Right. Is the hole closed now, then?
It has, yeah.
So you'd have to have it again.
I worked in a 5-star hotel in Dubai, and they weren't that keen on it.
So, based on the fact you had your tongue pierced once, would you have it done again?
It wasn't as painful as I'd expected, actually. I managed to keep it from my parents for about 2 days, even though I was with them at the time.
Right, okay.
So it's not as debilitating as some people think.
Your parents were with you in the piercing place and they still didn't notice.
No, I went for a Chinese with them that evening and...
Okay, went for a Chinese, came home with a piercing. Nice one.
Yes.
Part A.
This story's getting better. Let's stick
with I passed word. A chopstick through the hole and they still didn't notice. Bas, you raised your eyebrows when I said about voice recognition's got to get a lot better.
I think voice recognition is one of those things that it's useful for barking commands now and again. It would have to get amazingly better to be able to detect, you know, when I'm talking to you, for example, and I'm trying to talk to the computer. And it's sort of getting there, but the Xbox stuff is starting to make that happen in the living room. But I don't know, I'm just a huge skeptic in all of this.
Well, our gamer show, the guys on there, we're constantly barking out. At the launch of the Kinect, we're constantly barking out, Xbox off. See what would happen if people were listening to it on their Xbox. I wearable tech leaves me cold as well. But Bobby Lou, Robert Llewellyn, who's been on the show, nice chap, he tweeted out that the Google Glass thing, when he had a go with it, was extremely fast and responsive. And when he said take a pic, he hadn't got to the end of picture before it had taken it. So, which is probably a glitch, actually, because you want to get the word picture out before it actually takes it, surely. David, what are you bringing, mate?
I don't know if anyone else has seen this week. Zavvi have threatened shoppers after sending PS Vita there to a lot of people.
I saw this. What's this about?
Yeah.
Basically, I assume it was a sort of database error at their end. There's a PS Vita game called Tearaway, which is about 20 quid. And anyone that ordered it got a PS Vita sent out to them instead.
Hey.
170 quid's worth. And they have now started threatening people that have received this with legal action if they don't return it, which seems like a bit of a faux pas.
There is no legal action on their part, really, apart from the fact that, I mean, if you keep it, it's theft anyway, so...
There's a couple of things that they've brought up, which is if you receive an unsolicited gift, you have no reason to return it based on distance.
It's not an unsolicited gift, though.
No, but... You can see why people are interpreting it that way. They've basically given people a sort of deadline, which was actually on the 10th. So that would have been Tuesday, to get in touch with them and arrange them to be picked up and that sort of thing. So not the best way they could have handled it, possibly, in terms of customer satisfaction and that sort of thing. You can see why they've done it. Obviously, they don't want to be losing 150 quid on each one of these things that they've sent out wrongly, or in fact 170, because they'll probably still have to send out the game as well. But you can see why people are reluctant to be very cooperative to send them back.
How's it theft if they sent it you because you know it's not yours? Anything that you find or are given that you know is not yours, you should return to the rightful owner. It's theft by finding. There you go. My first case that I actually saw in a criminal court was theft by finding. It was dead interesting. And it was two guys that had found £40 lying in the street.
Right.
And they hadn't given it back to the rightful owner. And everyone was sat next to me going, who the hell's the rightful owner? I went, Bank of England. There you go.
Mm.
Printed on it. So, yeah. No, it's theft. It's definitely theft.
Okay. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, there's
it is.
The- you get the cases, you and Daniel, when people get money put into their bank account by mistake.
Yeah, it's theft by finding as well.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair to Xavi in this case, I don't think they went straight for the legal angle. I think they sent, from what I can understand, they sent a couple of emails saying, look, we've cocked up. Sorry, please send it back and we'll send you your game. I think they even offered some, you know, a 10 quid voucher or something as recompense. I don't think these people have really got a leg to stand on. I you know, if... Changing the way around.
Yeah.
Had Xavi sent out a 20 quid game when someone had ordered a PS Vita, would these customers think it was fair game if the shop just went, oh, sorry, you know, that just happens.
Look at the draw, dude.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Xavi, I'd understood that they sent out a request rather than a threat, really, but they got up to the threat stage now.
That's what the BBC is reporting, at least. That it's become a threat because it's gone that far, which, you know, fair enough. If there's people that are just ignoring the other emails they're sending out, you can understand why they've gone to that point. But
yeah,
there's a few people who wish they didn't owe me money at times in the past.
I just wonder how many emails you get from these companies, though, and you go, oh yeah, that time of year, delete.
Oh yeah, I think that probably has happened. Yes, good point. Good story, mate. Good story. Good customer relations. Righty, what did you bring for us then?
Right. So, who's excited about SteamOS? I am.
Yeah.
I haven't got into it, but.
Is that a no? Yeah.
I've never really tried it or got into it particularly. So.
Well, it's being released tomorrow. The beta version of it.
Right.
But obviously, I think everyone knows what Steam is. Obviously, is
which I'm saying, I've never used Steam.
Well, it's basically for Mac and PC. You can go and basically get almost all of the console games that are out. You can download them straight to your PC and Mac and play them. The company, I think Half-Life 2 and all that sort of thing, they're going to release their own operating system and their own kit. But you can basically make any PC into a Steam machine, which they call them. So it's a free operating system. And if you're kind of into the kind of the Steam kind of ecosystem, which I am, you can basically load it up and all the games that you've bought, it's kind of like iTunes for games, really. So you go in, all the games that you've previously bought, they're all there. You can download them and play them, and they have big sales and that sort of thing. But with the release of the PS4 and the Xbox One, I was wondering what people thought about the fact that you could build your own kind of games console, because they've got like a controller that you can have with it, and it basically runs on any PC. It does a lot of game streaming. They're looking at doing movies and videos and TV shows, much the same as the Xboxes, but you haven't got that incredible outlay that you have for the consoles.
Is this got to run in a virtual machine, or is this running windowed?
It's Linux based. It runs two ways. You can run it as a virtual machine, but you can run it as a full Linux operating system, which is their Steam OS. And you can basically, from an old PC, you could build your own console. And I actually think, maybe more for the geeks, it's a really kind of attractive kind of proposition. But it also means that other partners, in the same way that kind of Samsung and HTC build phones for Android, loads of other companies are going to be able to build these consoles for Steam.
Is that going to mean that the games that you can play on the OS that you install is going to be directly related to the spec of the computer that you've installed it upon? Because that heralds a real threat to the console market. Because, exactly. I mean, your PC gaming system is huge in comparison to power.
Exactly. But when you download a Steam game, it actually analyses your system and sets up the game based on the system that you have. So obviously, the point of the Xbox One and the PS4, they're always going to run every single game and all that sort of thing. But obviously, they've got a huge library, and because they're doing it as digital downloads, they just had a Steam sale recently. Like the latest Tomb Raider game was a fiver, and you could buy, I think you could buy every single Tomb Raider game plus the new one for 12 quid. And when they're selling PS4 and Xbox One games for, 50, 60 quid, it might be a real attractive thing for people to go and buy. And obviously, it's designed to be plugged into your HDTV, and off you go.
Question from Jim in the chat room: is the Steam OS the same as Windows and OS 10, or is it purely a gaming OS?
It's purely a gaming OS.
Yeah. Anyone else got salivating at the prospect of this tomorrow?
I've
said the youngster.
Sorry. Yeah, I've been having a look at this because we've been looking at different versions of Linux and things, and we've been looking at the Steam OS mainly because we build a lot of systems ourselves anyway, and it looks like as long as Steam includes something in the OS that will actually scan your system and say to you before you buy it, no, you can't play that, that's fine by me. And it looks really fun. It's one of the things that Andy, one of my colleagues, is definitely going for. And I think that we might be looking at the PS4 and the Xbox One being the last sort of generation of true, pure consoles that you're going to have. I mean, they already do all the media stuff as well. But I think because they've got a separate section actually in Linux, because I run Windows in a boot camp on my iMac purely for Steam, so that I can play some of the older games that I had when I used to run Windows for everything. And I think that some of the Steam stuff, their Linux section is kind of limited compared to the Windows section, and the Mac section is limited compared to the Windows section. But I think they're really trying to bridge that gap so that anything that you buy from any of these stores will run on all the platforms. And they're sort of almost making it a layer between the operating system and the game. And if that's what they're doing, then that is fabulous.
Yeah.
Because it'll be good for all of us with the Macs, with Linux, with Steambox, with Windows. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the other thing that Valve offer with Steam is, I'm just looking on their website now, there's 75 of them. There's 75 free to play games.
Mm.
And they are all top titles like Team Fortress 2, all sorts of things on there. You know, real like, top quality games that have gone free to play. So you could build this Steam box for free and play these 75 games they've got for nothing out of the box.
Christ.
You know, is it their own title?
That's nothing compared to what, you know, the Xbox and the PS4 can't compare anything to that. You download this OS, you install it, you've got 75 games straight away. And all the games you've bought before are in your library. You can download them straight away and play straight away. I think like Portal, which is obviously one of their biggest games, went free to play as well. And I think for the release, they're going to make more of these big games free to play to get people into the ecosystem. So I think it's actually a really, really aggressive attack on what consoles are doing now.
Yeah, I really think that Steambox is what Ouya wanted to be.
Yes, but it's just underpowered, wasn't it?
But done properly. Do you know what I mean? Hopefully that's what it is, because that'd be an amazing system and something that we can all sort of get behind. Because if you've got an old PC or one that you can set up as a dual boot, you know, install Steam for when you want to play games and install Windows for when you need to edit something in Word, you know, perfect.
I'm struggling to see the advantage of Steam as an OS over just installing the Steam app on Windows, though. What reason is there?
Said the man without a Mac.
but other than if you've got a Windows system, why not just run Steam currently on the hardware?
Yeah, but I think it's that living room thing, isn't it? Everyone's trying to capture the living room experience, so I think that's their thing with their new controller and all that sort of thing. You know, you could take an old PC and shove it under your telly, and you've got essentially what is a console, not what you'd have in your office or in your study or anything like that, you know. But
the old PC is going to have old hardware, so it won't play the latest games. It will struggle with a lot of the 3D games from recent years. And this is the problem, I think, with Steam. I mean, I hear what you're saying. There are some advantages, but compared to something you said a minute ago, when you buy an Xbox game or a PlayStation game, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And for the majority of consumers, that's all they care about. If I've got to go check in specs or I've got to run some kind of validation to find out if I can play the game that was released last week, then it becomes a hassle. And any old PC you've got knocking around, unless you've got a really, you know, top old graphics system knocking around that you replaced last year, is going to struggle to run the latest games.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that they made it free is probably the biggest point of it, because people can just give it a go. There's no outlay, so... You know, obviously, yes, you will pay £500 for an Xbox, but like I said at the start, I think it is more aimed at the geeks who will build these boxes. But the other point that I was going to make is that partners like Samsung or Toshiba or someone like that can make these consoles. Mm. And suddenly you haven't got a Wii U, an Xbox, and a PS4. You've got whatever Toshiba knock out, and they could be really competitive as well, especially if they take the advantages that Valve give them. And Valve have got the software library because they are the biggest, I think they are the biggest online distributor of games.
How big is this box?
Combine that with kit that is comparable to an Xbox or a PS4, it actually might be a better proposition.
How big is the box?
Well, the boxes that come out, they're kind of like GameCube kind of size little things, but you can install it on any PC, so they'll come in all sorts of form factors. So
exactly to what you said, they could obviously be fitted into TVs or any other device,
it's free. It's same way you look how Android's kind of like taken off. It's in, like they say, talk about the UER, you know, Android's in that. You know, if you take the Steam OS and start putting in TVs and consoles and laptops and that sort of thing, you know, the sky's the limit of where they can go with it.
Yes,
the hardware's the limit of where they can go with it.
Which Steam Box is the software, and it's actually based on Ubuntu.
Yeah.
So it's a very lightweight operating system in itself. So basically, it will run your games better on a low-end PC than it will if you've got Windows running behind a game on a low-end PC. That's sort of the advantage of it. And
to a point.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the point.
Yeah, but there's 75 free-to-play games. You know, Xbox and Sony can't say, you know, try our new console. There's 75 games for nothing at all. And they're all top titles.
But the games that are compiled for Windows or Mac won't run on Linux natively. Maybe they're doing something with virtualization layer that's going to make them work. But that's a hell of an effort. I'd be surprised if they can backport all of the Windows back catalogue onto a Linux box. That would be something quite special. And I'm really interested to see this. I hope it is a success, but I think the key problem with it is exactly the same problem that the PC gaming market's had, that every year or two, eventually the hardware falls behind the games. Mm. And as much as it might be free at that point, if you've got to keep renewing your hardware every two or three years to keep up the latest games, that's what puts people off. How long, you know, the Xbox 360 has just lasted for, 7 years?
Yeah.
That's, you know, you spread that investment.
That is a long
years,
time.
It's not quite as bad.
I mean, the thing as well, there, Baz, it is free, so you will get a chance to play tomorrow and you will be able to give us a full review at your next appearance.
I think it's only going to pre-selected beta testers tomorrow. I think it's only 30 or so.
No, 300 Steam machines are going out to beta tests tomorrow, but the OS is available for download tomorrow.
Oh, is it? Okay.
In beta for everyone.
But Valve have said, unless you're some sort of experienced Linux hacker, wait for the 2014 release of it. But I'm a bit of a hacker, so I'm going to give it a go.
And I'm going to do it anyway, just so I can sit and swear at my computer all day.
Again.
Meg Whitman says, HP's just fine. Mr. Hewlett and Mr. Packard are turning in their graves, I'm sure. She's saying that they've got very low price points. We're really careful about where we play and how we're going to win because there's no point in not making money. And a segment in the market that we can be thoughtful about. I mean, HP's eggs seem to be all in the PC hardware basket. They've stepped away from all of the mobile stuff that they had the option with. They bought Palm at Christ knows what benefit and collapsed it straight away. I know that she's suffering a bit from the loopy bloke who had it before her, but has HP really got any future?
Not in the PC market, I don't think.
They haven't got anything else, though, have they? Or is there something I'm missing?
They have a huge enterprise division.
HP, I think what she's actually saying is quite sensible. They're trying to do what IBM did. So IBM basically said, sod the desktop PC and laptop market. There's no money in that for us.
Yeah.
We're going to go and sell the big iron to companies in their back ends and do the services. So when the NHS wants 40,000 PCs, we provide the servers and the desktops for them. And they are still big in that market. They're still huge. Mm. That's the sensible play. I think they've got no future as a consumer device maker. because they don't produce sexy kit. They never really have.
No.
They had a disaster, like you say, with Palm. They're nowhere in the tablet market. They're sticking out cheap Android tablets at the moment for 100 quid that are, you know, bog standard pieces of glass, but nothing special. They've got no consumer market to chase anymore. Printers is a busted flush for consumers. But in the business market, yeah, absolutely, they're still very strong. I just don't think we'll hear about them. They'll be like IBM or, you know, Oracle or, you know, one of these back end companies within 5 years.
Is that? I mean, is that? I'm trying to think about, you know, where you start and where you end. And yes, you've got to evolve as a business. You've got to be dynamic. But is that kind of selling it down the river a little bit, not fighting it out in the consumer market? I get the bit what they were saying about IBM, but IBM have always been about the corporate from day one. They never did the, I mean, the Lenovo was a toe in the water the ThinkPad was a toe in the water in the consumer market as a sideline, but actually the ThinkPad was really driven towards the hard end commercial market, whereas HP have been purely consumer. And to then make that switch is disingenuous to a certain degree in what their history is about.
I definitely been purely consumer. I think they've been very big in business. I mean, they're certainly up with HP and Dell,
okay.
IBM. They were big corporate. You know, if you go into the big, you know, FTSE 100 companies, you'll find a lot of HP machines on those desks. But you're right. They did have a consumer play. They were certainly very big. They were the biggest consumer PC maker at one point. But that market's, you know, as much as it pains a man who was editing a PC magazine a month ago, that market is going away. There's going to be a lot fewer companies. Even Dell has talked about walking away from that to some extent. I think it's wise what they're doing because they're it's expensive to play in consumer. Unless you've got some momentum behind you, then I can't see it for them. I don't see what they've got to gain by sticking it out in the consumer market and losing more money.
We're going to change the discussion then into, is there a future for PC Pro magazine?
Not going there.
Oh, no. That's my customer, he says. Shut up.
There's your answer.
What was the last HP product you bought, Gaz?
It was a printer.
Still using it?
Still, yes, because my wife and the kids still use it. Well, to a certain degree, I use
that's
it. That's
a yes, like it's keeping the door open.
Well, no. They do use it. They use it a lot more than I do, but I still use it occasionally for East Midlands stuff, for the Referee Society. But it doesn't. It does sit there generally doing nothing, to be honest with you.
Gaz? Baz? Even?
I don't think I've ever bought anything from HP. I may have bought a printer a few years ago.
Yeah, you got given it all free of charge. yeah, we know your game. Those days are gone, boy. David?
In 1996, my friend had an HP desktop, I believe. I think that's the last time I've seen one in the flesh.
Right, okay. Mitch in the chat room says, you're looking good. It looks like you're going to get a set of knickers in the post, mate.
My sister did buy a HP laptop a couple
I thought you said you're going to say your sister was going to send him his knickers in. Like, Jesus.
I'm open to various sorts.
And she hates it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And Righty?
Some brown sauce.
No, HP product.
HP brown sauce. Yeah,
brown sauce.
Hewlett-Packard product, you bugger.
I buy them every week with printers. They're still pretty robust and things.
You buy one a week. Right, okay. Because I can't afford the ink, I buy the printer every week instead.
I'll stick with the sauce.
Probably cheaper.
No, I mean, I've just got a new printer, an A3 colour printer behind the TV here. It's the 7000 wide format A3 printer, and it's great. It's good. It's a great printer. But I think the last thing before that was an HP Jornada. Do you remember that? Bloody the palm yeah. thing, Jornada-y yeah. things. Yeah,
did that they were one good. Have the holes down the edges of the paper to feed it through.
The Jornada was a personal organizer thing.
Oh right, so it wasn't a printer. Proper like ribbon printer.
No, I am old enough to have used a daisy wheel printer and also a feed printer, but sprocket feed printer, but
There was a really excellent moment in the video there, Ewan, where you twisted your TV, but the green screen stayed in place. So it's
well, it would.
Going to kind of Star Trek vortex or something.
Oh, there we go.
And who said printers are dead?
Printers aren't dead. They're just behind. Well, I clogged mine up.
Well, but, I was thinking, 3D printers. But...
We'll come back to that. this podcast and all the others is brought to my UK too. They sponsor us, they support us, they're brilliant. We've got really close ties with them. I do work for them as well, and they look after us, plain and simple. If you want to support British Tech Network, then you need to support UK too as well. Please, if you want to buy anything for the web, domain names, co-location services, dedicated servers, shared servers, whatever you want, please check them out. Their prices are pretty good. The service is next to excellent compared to anyone else. And a couple of people have ummed and ahed about it. And I've had a few tweets from people saying, oh, I wish I'd have gone with it when you said, because it would have saved me a fortune, or, you know, I'm having loads of trouble with the person that I went to now who's not me daddy. And check them out, because they're really, really good. And they support us, like I said. And if you would like to donate to support the British Tech Network, I put a tweet out this week. Thanks to those people that retweeted it, but didn't give us a frigging penny. If you'd like to support the network, we need a bit more tech here. My microphone's starting to wear out. The desk, desk that we've got up here is starting to get old and knackered. Then if you want to support us, please, that would be great. If you want to appreciate what we do and provide free of charge week in, week out, that would be great. Thank you very much. You can give single donations or you can subscribe and donate. But it's bageltechnews@gmail.com is the PayPal account. Just give us whatever you can manage. And if anyone out there wants to sponsor us for a whole pile of kit, then you can. And also, if you want to donate anything through that email address on PayPal and you've got something you want to promote, then you'll get an advertisement in the podcast for whatever it is that you want. And if it's a Just Giving thing, or if it's a place, a pub, or whatever you've got, then we'll give you that mention as well. So thank you very much if you do give us a donation. And those people that have been subscribed to the donations thing for the last couple of years, thank you. Your money doesn't go on beer. I promise you. It goes on whiskey. have you got a cool thing for us? Gaz, start us off.
Do you want me to go with...
For it, man. I think it's brilliant. I want you to get me a review unit, though.
Well, yeah, I might struggle on that. Now, I don't normally do stuff like this, to be perfectly honest with you, but I work for a company called RS Components, and we currently have a 3D printer available for...
It looks great.
Yeah, let me put a link into the chat room for folks. It's an Omerod. Omerod, I think it's Omerod is the pronunciation. It's not actually in my area but where I work, but basically it's £499. The filaments which go in it are about £30 a roll as well. So
looks like there's a lot there, though.
Yes, yes. And it's already on back order, so we've already sold out. So these things are coming to the fore fairly quickly. And this was less my pick, actually, and more Ewan's, because I think he fancies one of these more than I do.
Well, when it came, I've only just finished hanging up the TV in my back lounge that I bought, and I thought, oh, bugger, because I'd have bought one of these instead. I'd have got less grief off the wife buying a 3D printer, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, then she could have had probably a 3D image of yourself. Lightly. I mean, she'd carry that around with her.
She'd have killed me. Like, nothing to remember.
Yeah, so that's kind of my pick, I suppose, as we were talking about printers earlier and that printers are dead. Not quite yet, they're not, but there you go.
Good. I like that. £500 seems a good price. It looks a good quality one as well. And I'm going to say...
That's what they went for. I mean, they were looking for something which was a quality product and also within a reasonable price range. I think they've come down pretty quick, actually, in price.
I do buy a fair bit from RS, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke, mate, because you work for them, but they are a good firm in terms of customer service and delivery and all that kind of thing. And
the
stores are great if you turn up in those.
Yeah.
They're great at helping you out. Well done. Good pick, mate. Like that a lot. Baz, have you got a pick for us? A cool thing?
Yeah. Well, I've got the Motorola Moto G. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is a dead cheap Android handset. It is... £135 SIM-free for the 8 GB version, or there's a 16 GB version, which I'm just rapidly looking up on Amazon, is £160. and it's sold out on Amazon at the moment because this thing is bloody good for a phone that costs just £160. It's got a nice high-res screen. It's a decent size. It's not one of these massive... I've just bought a HTC One, and I'm almost half regretting buying it now because this came in this week. And it's a beautiful little device. It's just a really nice, powerful little phone. It plays all the latest games, so like Asphalt 8, I was playing earlier, and it absolutely zips through it. It's speedy. There's two downsides. One is the camera's not too hot. It's
right. What do you expect for £160?
Precisely. And there's no 4G option at all. So if you're in London and can get a 4G network, this won't give any good for you. But other than that, the battery life, because it's fairly compact, the battery life is pretty good. I've been using it pretty heavily today, and I've still got about 40% of the battery left. It comes with these nice little cases as well, so the back comes off and it effectively forms this case that flips around, and that turns the phone off. So it's nice and compact in your pocket. And for £160 or 135 for the 8 gig version, I don't think you could ask a hell of a lot more. It really is a lovely little phone.
Very good, mate. Excellent. £160, brilliant for 16 gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say. I mean, I've got the Nokia 625 on test at the moment from Nokia, and it's a cheap little phone as well. Very good. You can't knock them. People have got to think hard. People aren't going to be spending £500 and £700 on phones soon, I don't think. Good pick, sir. Good pick. David, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a game, and actually it is available on Steam, as we discussed earlier. It's called Cabal Space Program. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of it, but I heard of it through another podcast, Skeptical Thing. And basically you get to run your own space program, assembling your rockets, doing your research, putting together your capsules, all that sort of thing. And it's got really realistic physics. It's not a casual game. It's not the sort of thing you would play on an iPhone or something like that. It is very much a desktop thing. And you've got to be kind of careful because you've got to do your burns at the right time to get into the right orbits and build these things. And it's brilliant fun. It's a really involved kind of thing. If anyone played Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space back in the day, I loved that game.
Back in the day?
Oh, Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space, that was like...
I'd had two kids and been married for 10 years by then. You little shit.
I'm sorry, I can't help... I mean, I had a BBC Micro, what more do you want? I didn't punch cards to write programs, I'm sorry. But
that's your last time you're coming on here, sunshine.
But yeah, it's Cabal Race into Space. It's brilliant fun. The graphics are great. It is still in beta, but if you buy it while it's in beta, it's nice and cheap, and it's great fun.
Excellent, mate. Bastard. Good pick. Righty.
Hello.
I'm going to buy you a lamp for Christmas, mate, so we can actually frigging see you.
Sorry. Well, I was going to do Spotify as my cool thing, but because we talked about it, I'll go for my backup one.
You still can.
A tasty little Chrome experiment. I'll drop it into the chat. You do need to be running Chrome, but it's a fully fledged Amiga 500 emulator that runs in your browser.
Right.
And it's absolutely amazing. Just takes me back. I am that old. I can remember having one of these in my bedroom, but you can do all of the old things that you used to be able to do on an Amiga. And you can actually like load files onto it and run code and play games, but it's actually a portable client as well, so you can actually download it, put it on a USB stick and carry it around with you. It's like, basically, they've managed to fit an entire Amiga into a USB stick. Absolutely bloody amazing. And you can plug joysticks into it and mice and all that and do all the sort of things. It even captures your mouse cursor. You get that dodgy old Amiga mouse cursor. So if you're looking for something, a bit of nostalgia the weekend, just go and find an Amiga if you're old enough to remember what it is.
I like the loading messages on this thing. I'm just I've just fired it up, and one of the loading messages is warming up Rick Astley's voice. That's quite nice.
And then type you type running command line, it should fire everything up. So I was doing some old Amos coding in there early, just to kind of make sure I knew what I was doing. But yeah, it's, you know, if you just want an Amiga without the hassle of going go out and buy one and, you know, or up a skip, then yeah, this is worth a look.
Can you steal a pile of games for it?
you know, ROM files, I don't know, you could do something with that.
Wait till we stop broadcasting, he says. Wait till we stop broadcasting. Mine's not so much a cool thing as just there's a deal out there at the moment. I bought a GoPro HD 3 Plus last week because my HD 2s, I mean, these things have been in culverts and down drain pipes and hung off cranes and dropped 40 feet onto the ground, so they're getting a bit towards end of life. This thing's fantastic, but one of the things that's nice about this is natively it'll take a 64 gig micro SD card, and you can get a micro SD card delivered on Amazon. I can't get close enough, for 40 quid at the moment if you ever hunt around. So I got two of these delivered on express delivery for 40 quid. So have a hunt on Amazon at the moment. And 64 gig for 40 quid, a bloody good price, I can tell you. And they come with the adapter as well, though. So it's not just the card, it's the adapter. That's it. It's not a pick, like I said. Just I love these cameras. There was a nasty smash on Monday. I took the mother-in-law home, and those two things are mutually exclusive. I didn't try and have the smash with the mother-in-law in the car, the M1 was knackered from junction 13 to 14, so I had to find a way to get from Luton to Milton Keynes, avoiding motorways. And I did the A5, and I've videoed the whole thing and sped it up, so it's only 2 minutes long, and it's on the British Tech Live YouTube channel if you want to go and have a look. But the quality of the video is excellent out of it. I'm really, really impressed with it. And it gets 60 frames a second as well.
The police are advertising now for people to use car cameras, aren't they?
Really?
Yeah, I've seen big poster ads saying use a car camera.
Well, I did a particularly dangerous overtake on a red Fiesta that was driven by some old fart.
Delete that.
And I think I was kind of through on amber on one of the lights.
But they do the same in Russia, don't they? There's so many video clips on YouTube from Russia with these dash cams because there's so many people trying to cause accidents. I'm guessing that's why the UK police want it, to basically have a bit of a record of who was to blame.
Yeah, it makes their life easier, doesn't it?
No, I mean, it's just irony that, you know, you get a brand new camera to stick it and trial it, and you put it in your car, and then you drive like a twat when you're recording. I mean, it's...
in the snow, if possible.
Yeah. The pause button will mean so much more in a car now, won't it?
Gaz has just found a breaking news clip just as we're about to go off, but major game publishers have reacted badly because YouTube has managed to cull some game clips. They've got their content ID thing has randomly gone out and taken down a whole load of clips of people playing games. And there's a whole pile of developers listed here who apparently have all come out and said, no, we want it up there. We don't want them to take it off. We see it as promotion. So do not take these down. Thank you, YouTube. But YouTube has gone and done it anyway. I've got to say, the content ID system on YouTube is shit.
Isn't that what the button's for on the PS4 as well, so that you can share immediately to YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Just put a button right there on the controller so that you can share that clip of you playing your game straight to YouTube so that it promotes their game. And now YouTube's gone, oh, no, that's definitely breaking copyright rules. We better get rid of that.
Not anymore.
The story seems to think that some of them are being pulled because of the music in the video clips.
So. That might be why.
Yeah. That content ID system's crap. And I've had no end of videos. I use Pond 5 a lot. They're great. And they've been very helpful, actually, with the problems I've had. But I've put a couple of videos up on YouTube, and I've had people writing in saying, you know, content is mine, sod off. So I've had three or four DMCA notices come out. And I've fought everyone back successfully, but I have to sit down and write, and I have to go find my receipt and get the URL off for the piece that I've bought and try and remember which the name of the piece of the music is. It's a pain in the ass. But having said that, like I said, Pond 5 have been extremely helpful. They're a good bunch of people. So if you want to buy anything for your video and music, check out Pond 5.
For more sponsors.
They're very good. They're very good. Very, very good. Can't say a bad thing. Where can we get a hold of you, Gaz?
Nice and easy, gazmaz.com or on the Twitter.com. gazmaz.com/Gazmaz. And as I say on my Mac every week, GAZMAZ.
Good, mate. And you're on the My Mac podcast, you said. Did you get that?
Myself, a guy called Guy Searle. We call ourselves the G-Men, and it comes out every week. It's a Mac-orientated podcast, but it's just two guys having a beer, almost, really.
Just a bit like this, really. We like that.
Not video, though.
Baz, which park bench are you on this week? You're never going to drop this tag now.
No. Well, you can get me at Bazza Collins on Twitter, or if you want to come and see what I'm doing, I'm at mediabc.co.uk, which is my personal site.
Good. Plug away, mate. Plug away. Come back and see us soon.
Will do.
Dave, where are you, buddy?
It's sudoaptgeek.com. Chuck some hyphens in there and it'll make sense. And we're also sudoaptgeek with no hyphens on Facebook and Twitter.
Good, man. And righty?
As always, Paulin's on Twitter and doing my bit at the old British Tech Network.
Gotta read the reviews, dude. Gotta read the reviews. I liked your idea, by the way. I'm not going to say what it is, but there is an idea for some reviews coming out. I thought that would be excellent. Absolutely excellent. I'm Ian Rankin. You get me at Ian Rankin. Next week, it's the Christmas quiz. Yeah, we'll be back. Last show before Christmas. Tom Merritt's joining us, and we should have a great, fun time. So see you then. Thanks for listening.